This is Benjamin St. Jude, defensive back for the Washington Commanders.
Devin the dude here. Yo, check this out, man. You tune in to the Mitchell Hour, baby. Yeah, hosted by Julius. And much love, Devin.
Hey, young mouth for the ladies. And I want y'all to tune in to this dope-ass podcast, man. Shout out Julius, man. But we gonna tune in to the Mitchell Hour, baby. Hottest podcast in the game, baby. They drop weekly. They discuss hip-hop, sports, current events, and politics, man. So if you looking for the groove in the news, man, go fuck with the Mitchell Hour, man. And tell them Yuck Mouth sent you, my nigga. Stay tuned in. Keep it logged in and stay mobbing. Julius, what up? Yada-da.
Welcome back to another episode of The Mitchell Hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of The Mitchell Hour. Today we're doing episode 61, Women in Marriage. Some people didn't show up, but that's not going to stop what we're doing. So today we have my cousin Shatara. Say what's up to the people.
What it do?
And we have my mother. Say what's up to the people.
Hello.
So we're going to be going over the same things we went through last time when it was me and Corey. We're going to be playing a little clip, and we're going to get the female perspective on what they feel is important and what this young lady had spoke about. If I can just find the clip, that would be perfect. So, Shatara, give us a little background, your relationship status, you know.
Cool. So, yeah. I'm Shatara, and I am single. Mm-hmm. I need to mingle. But no, you know, I'm a single mom of two different baby daddies. So, you know, it is what it is, but God loves me anyway.
That's right. Mom, tell the people about your relationship status.
I am a widow for the second time. I have three children, five grandchildren, and another one on the way.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to get started. Let's go.
I married your auntie because she stayed on my neck. I wouldn't be the man that I am today if it wasn't for her. So I asked him about some conflicts because I love talking to men who have been in conflict, who have made mistakes, who have learned from mistakes, especially married men, and can give you an idea of how things go from a male standpoint. So he tells me about one event. He said, there was one time I really made your auntie mad. He said, I was wrong. I made a decision without talking to her. And she was really big on standing firm on what it is that you're going to do and making sure that you communicate things with her, any decisions, because they affected our household. And he goes and tells me, he says, so she was getting on my A. He said, and I hated it. So what I did the same thing I always did. Run into the bars, run into the clubs, run into the parlors, whatever I could to avoid her. He said, and I kept putting up a wall. I kept building a wall against her. And she fought and she fought and she fought to tear that wall down. And eventually the wall was defeating her. That's when I realized I was losing her. He said, every time I made her face that wall and every time I turned my back against her because I didn't want to hear the truth about who I was. I didn't want to sit there and sit in my S-H-I-T. I wanted to run from it. I shut down all the time. She couldn't beat that wall, so she turned away from me. And she fixed the problems herself. And that's when she realized she didn't need me. And so I asked myself, well, Uncle, whenever I talk to my clients, I always tell them, you need to be able to put the purpose of your marriage in your relationship, your children, your investments, whatever it is, think from a logical standpoint, put that above the conflict. So that way you can defeat the conflict. And he said, well, baby, I wish you were there when I was around. He said, I wish you were there at that time. He said, because that's...
All right. So y'all heard what the young lady was talking about. So I'm going to start with this. And Mom, I'll let you go first. Is love enough to make a marriage last or a relationship last?
No, love is not enough. Okay. Because there are going to be days that you're going to doubt if you love that person. And once you've been married for a long time and you still in a process of getting to know each other. So you can be married like 30 years and you're still going to learn new things about each other. You're going to go through ups and downs and everything, and you have to decide that's the person. And sometimes you're going to look at over at that person and be like, I don't even like you right now. So no, love is not enough.
No. Shatara?
No, I do not believe that love is enough. It's a lot more qualities. It's a lot more attributes that go into a relationship. So to just factor or to put the weight of love on the entire relationship is a waste.
Okay. Okay. So you guys just said that love isn't enough. So starting with Shatara this time, I want you to tell me the top two things that you need or that you feel will make a relationship last.
Off top, I would say consistency and communication. And communication ain't just like, you know, talk. Like, it has to have some depth to it, right? Like, understanding is a part of communication. Like, don't just, you know, hey, how you feeling? What's going on? Like, really understand what the question is that you're asking me, and then understand my response. Like, listen to understand, not listen to hear me, if that makes sense. But being consistent also, like, don't start something in the beginning of this relationship that you can't maintain, or even if it don't look the same towards the later years, it could still be that, but a variety of that or a variation of that, I should say.
Okay. Mom, your top two things that you think you need to make a relationship last?
I would say communication. I agree with Shatara, but I also believe that having God in your relationship at the beginning, the middle, and the end, that's very, very important.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the next thing that I want to ask you ladies are, like this young lady said in the clip, she went to her elders. She talked about, she asked them, what did you do to make your relationship last, or what did you do to make your relationship fail? I think certain family members are different, and I think some people don't want to share their business. And if they do share, it's the glittery gold part of it, not the part that, you know, they don't want people to know. You know, so Shatara and Mom, y'all can pick who you want to go first. Can you go to your elders and ask them for a relationship advice? And have you ever done it?
I think it's something that can be done. I think it's something that should be explored, but it depends on what family you're talking about.
Right.
If you're talking about the family you born into, maybe not so much, you know, but it also depends on the example that you have. You know, if I see the family, or I'm not coming to you for advice, if, even though y'all been together for a long time, but, you know, I could see it's been struggle after struggle. I don't see any good. And not to say, you know, the glitz and glamour like you mentioned, but I don't see any good times either. So, right. I mean, granted, the advice that you give me could really just be like, hey, don't do what we're doing. But I think that there are times that you can go to elders, but they got to be honest. They got to be honest.
Right. Mom?
I think it can be good at times, and at times it can't be good. I agree that it depends on who you're going to. I don't think that it should be a family member at times, due to the fact that once you get over your hump and you went to that family member trying to get guidance and everything, that family member might be feeling some kind of way. Y'all done got over y'all's hump, and they still upset at that family member. I don't think you should talk to a family member, but I do think that maybe you should go to maybe one of the mothers of the church or the brothers of the church that's been married 50 years, and you've seen good in them and you've seen their marriage work, and you want to go to ask them, how do you make this work? But be mindful who you talk to, okay?
But I kind of feel like, to piggyback off of that, like you said, be mindful of who you go to. You got to trust them. Like, you can't just, hey, I see you've been such and such. Like, how'd that work? No, like, I have to know that whatever I come to you with, you're not going to run to somebody else, or you're not going to just share the information with whomever you may feel. Speaking for me personally, I'm okay with you sharing my information if it makes an impact, a positive impact in somebody else's life, right? Like, hey, my cousin Shatara was going through such and such, and this is what she did to get out of that. I'm okay with you sharing my story, but to just be doing it for dramatic or drama reasons, I'm not cool with that.
I agree with that 100%. And I don't think that if you're married, I don't think a mother, you should go to your mother and father. I just don't think that you should be telling what's going on in your home. Sometimes that can be, it might not work out good sometimes. I know that we should be able to go to our parents and say, especially if they've been married 60 years, 70 years, and say, Mom, Dad, I'm going through this. How did y'all overcome that? But sometimes you telling your mother too much can be an issue. You get what I'm saying? It can be a...
And I think that personally, going to your parents is the wrong thing. Because most of the time, if you're a child growing up in your parents' household, you see what they went through. Even the things that they try to hide from you, you see that. And most of the time, you know, humans are going to be humans. You know what I'm saying? The father might say, well, your mom did this.
Right.
The mom's going to say, well, your father did this. And you're like, both of these motherfuckers are lying. You know what I'm saying?
I was there.
So, yeah, sometimes you can't go to your parents. But personally, I feel like everybody's a fraud nowadays. And you see most of the relationships, the glitz and glamours on YouTube. You see the glitz and glamours on Instagram, Facebook, them posting pictures of their daughters throwing leaves up in the air. And they're just walking around like everything is just perfect. But it's not. You know what I'm saying? So the next thing I want to ask you now, both of you have had relationships and you had kids out of the relationships. So some people that I see, I was looking at a survey online. Some people said that even if the relationship is not going well, if you have the kids, you should try to make it work. But some other people said, well, no, because all you're going to do is harm the kids. If they seen that your relationship is toxic, you know, you should just go ahead and end it. So this can be broken down into different, you know, categories. But whoever want to go first.
No, do not stay for the sake of the kids.
Right. Have you ever tried to make a relationship work with just because of the kids?
Yes. And, you know, I would be a liar if I said anything other than that. Specifically with my son. My son is older, my daughter's younger. So, you know, my son being my first child, obviously it didn't work, right? And I'm just like, okay, well, maybe we could just work through it, right? Like maybe we could talk about it and figure out what the issues are and really just work towards it. But it's going to take two people to come with that energy and to solve that problem. It can't just be one-sided. So if I'm the only person showing up like that, it's not going to work. And I felt guilty at first, like, man, I'm about to remove my son from, you know, his father, like, in the household. But truth of the matter is, father wasn't necessarily in the household to begin with. So I had to have a real conversation with myself. Am I doing my son an injustice by staying?
Right.
Or am I doing him, you know what I'm saying, a benefit by leaving? Okay. And just to say that I'm gone does not mean that you can't see your father. That does not mean that you can't have a relationship with him. It just means that he's not in the house.
Right.
You know, the stuff that we don't get along with. Because, and I'll be honest, we didn't build a foundational relationship prior to me getting pregnant, prior to me having that child. So the fault was already there in that moment. And I kind of feel like a lot of times that's also the case. You know, if you don't have that foundation already set prior to having kids, there's nothing for you to come back to when things start to get fuzzy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's when your kids start to see the toxicity and all that other stuff when you stay. So.
Wow. Okay. Phyllis? Mom?
I don't think that you should stay together because of children,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're not getting along. And the only thing they're seeing is argument after argument, and they're not seeing any love between the two of you. And children do need to see love between their parents, even if they're not together. So staying together because of a relationship, no.
I agree.
Okay, so this next question, me and Corey differed on this. And the reason that I want to specifically take a little bit longer on this topic is because I had a conversation with my grandmother. And she said she listened to the podcast. And I said, the question was, do you believe in soulmates? And she said, yes, she believes in soulmates, but not the secular definition of what a soulmate is. And what she means is there's no such thing as a soulmate in the secular world. When you meet someone and you put religion into your relationship and you become one, that's when you become soulmates. So do y'all believe in soulmates? But I'm okay.
I can kind of answer. I do believe in soulmates.
Mm-hmm.
I love my aunt. Okay, but all of that was different. Mm-hmm. Like all that, you know, because it's true, right? But like just to say that you in a relationship and you are married and you God is in it and y'all are praying every day, that does not make that person your soulmate. Like
exactly,
your soulmate to me could also be your best friend. Like literally, my female best friend could be my soulmate. That does not mean that we have to be in a romantic relationship. If things work with us, if we both hold each other accountable, if we both are responsible and do what needs to be done when it comes to the sake of that relationship, and it's easy, right? It's not work. It's even we're putting the effort, but it's not hard. You know what I mean? I don't think that it has to be in an affectionate, romantic relationship that's your soulmate.
Mom?
Yes, I believe that you can have a soulmate. I think that after you've been together for a long period of time, you just know each other. You just click. You just make it work. You just know what you're getting ready to say. I know what you want. I know what you need. So, yes, I do, but I believe that you grow into that. That's my view on it. But yes, you can have a soulmate. Yes, you can.
Okay. So I broke down what Nana said as far as religion and having God in it. So I want to ask you guys another question. Can religion, church, cause problems in a relationship?
100%.
Now, I'm gonna jump in and I'm gonna say this. So most of the time when you have people in relationships, most of the time it's the female that is going to other things to make the relationship work. You know what I'm saying? They might run to doing something more freaky in the bedroom. They might run to church and talk to people in the church as another outlet to make the relationship work. But personally, I think religious or church part of a relationship, it can ruin it, because most of the time it's women and sometimes men that have major issues and they think, you know what, let me go ahead and not work on myself, let me go ahead and run to this so they can tell me that it's the man that's doing wrong, it's this. If you come and you give me $59.99 for the prayer towel, everything will work out. But I think that religion and church causes a lot of problems, because most of the time, all they're trying to do is manipulate the woman into leaving the husband and getting that alimony, getting all that money, and giving it to the church. So I went a little extra, but I've been watching these videos, and it's women that, and some men, they get caught up in these churches, and only thing that the church did was manipulate them to leave. And it's what video it was, but it was a woman that's saying, I shouldn't have left my husband. The church made me leave my husband because I was told that he wasn't right for me. You know? So go ahead and y'all can expound on what I said.
Please, because I'm going to take it somewhere else.
I agree with some of the things that you said. Being raised in a church all my life, never been in no club and nothing like that. I've been married twice, and the church has been a very big part of my life and my marriages. And I think that sometimes we go too far letting the church at times run our business. I will give you an example right quick. My first husband, we had went to a service, and the pastor told all of us doing Bible study that we are not to take birth control, that birth control is abortion and that it's of the devil. Well, I have to give it. My first husband, minister of music, Eric Smith, said, let's get up out of here, because he's not going to tell us what we're going to do in the bedroom. And I agree. I really did agree. And we got up in the middle of the service. We asked God to forgive us, you know, pardon the Lord, but we got up out of there. I don't think that the church should be going in the bedroom telling you what to do, okay? And I think that I don't think that a wife or a husband should put a pastor or a church over the relationship, because that is not in the Word of God. And people blow it out of proportion when the Word of God does says that we are supposed to honor the pastor and give them, actually it says give double honor, but you have to dissect that and know what that means. It does not say you honor them and worship them or you put them over your family, okay? Because I remember times, even in my own marriage with my second husband, we were going, I had my kids getting up, going to services, three services. I know you remember that, Julius. We were going to three different services, and yeah, it was ridiculous.
I remember.
Yes, and it was ridiculous. And I was getting tired. I was not doing things I needed to do in the home. Things in the home were somewhat lacking a little bit. So, no, I don't think that... we should be putting the church all up in our marriages.
I agree. I do feel like, and I'm going to take it a step further for not just, you know, like church in general, right? It's a lot of wrong things that are going in. So I do believe that having a relationship with God is above all, right? Mm-hmm. So when you do walk into those situations where you're getting misguided information that doesn't sit right with your spirit, you know, God is like, all right, it's time to get up out of here. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So mm-hmm. I do feel like even though those things happen, going back to that foundation, right? Like if you have that understanding with your partner, like, listen, something funky going on, we need to either have that conversation or we need to just, like, you know my cue. When my eyebrow go up, we out of here. Like, whatever the situation may be. But I do think that, you know, a lot with church can be misinterpreted, and people do run with that literally like it's gospel. And I think that with you having a personal relationship with God, that should guide you, not the church.
I agree. And do not put the church, or the pastor or the bishop or the apostle over your spouse. The Bible does not state that. And people get it really mixed up and confused. Let the word in the church be your foundation, but it does not go over your household.
Okay, that was great.
I'm sorry. What's your thoughts?
I really think you should just keep people out of your relationship. Especially the church. If you have that foundation and it's already in you, the only way that I feel like you should go to the church is for the premarital counseling. Mm-hmm. Then after that, keep people out your business. You know what I'm saying? Because depending on who you talk to about your relationship, it can really cause problems, because you're talking to your homegirl about your relationship, then all you're going to do is your homegirl going to hate your man.
Yes.
You talk to your homeboy, all he going to do is hate your girl. But they don't realize, because most of the time you go to your single homeboy, your single homegirl, and they already a little bit jealous because they ain't got no nigga. You know what I'm saying? They ain't got no chick. So keep people out of your relationships, especially people when you don't value their opinion. You know what I'm saying? You want to talk to people that's going to give you unbiased opinions. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wait a minute. Can I say one more thing about that? Also, if you do choose to get counseling at the church, know who's counseling you. What is their status? What is their relationship? What is their marriage built on? Really, you cannot sit and tell me anything about my marriage and how to build my marriage when I saw you in my DMs on Facebook and you're talking to me inappropriate. Oh, and that has happened. No. And it has happened.
You got pastors in your DMs?
Yes. Pull out yes. the receipts. I'm just going to be real. And you know, yes. So you have to know. You can't just sit up here and just assume. Know people personally before you let them come into your life and give you words of trying to help you build your marriage when they not doing right themselves. Know who you have that's counseling you.
But like I said this on my last podcast, you got to see people for who they really are, not who you want them to be.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you look at people and you say, okay, this man has potential or this woman has potential. But if they don't want to live up to that potential, then you shouldn't have, your relationship shouldn't be like a project.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Putting the word out there. Like when you describe somebody that you're willing to commit to, potential should not be anywhere in the description.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Okay. This is a problem that I see. Like I'm always on Instagram and Facebook and trying to come up with ideas for a podcast, right? And most of the time I see a lot of some men, but mostly women, that it'd be like, oh, relationship goals. You know what I'm saying? Like Nia Long and cheating African dude. You know what I'm saying? You got Ari Fletcher, you know, Moneybagg Yo. You know what I'm saying? You got Alicia Keys and Swiss Beats. You know what I'm saying? You got all these different people, but this is what I want people to really think about. It might not be y'all, but believe me, I see a lot of this, right?
Yeah, keep going.
You look at Alicia Keys and Swiss Beats. How did that relationship start?
Cheating.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So it's like relationship goals, and you're just like, yo, okay.
But it goes back to everything we've already discussed. You're picking. You can't nitpick with what you want. I'm on Instagram. Well, I want that relationship, but I don't want the bad that came with it. It don't work like
but
that.
But most people don't say they don't want the bad to come with it.
Because they're not
look,
smart.
Because they look at it, and they're like, yo, this chick got all his money because of this man. Or this man got all his money. He's taking care of his woman. Most relationships, especially with the younger generation now, they look at situations, relationships shouldn't be based off of finances or what the man can do, what the woman can do. You know what I'm saying? It's like if relationship is not going to be authentic if you both are not being real with each other. And the reason, I'm sorry, I'm going to go off on a tangent real quick. The reason that I wanted to have this podcast with women that I respect and everything.
Thanks.
Is just because there's always these thotties on Fresh and Fit or No Jumper. And they talk about, oh, yo, I don't give a, like, no, you got to do something for me. I need a Birkin bag. Like, you can't even spell Birkin
Thank
or
you.
Bag. You understand what I'm saying? So my thing is, it's just like most of these celebrities are putting out things that don't work. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's a woman named Love Dorsey, and she comes out. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's a lady that comes out. She's a so-called motivational speaker. And some of the things that she says are correct. But one thing that I'm noticing on social media lately, it's for the last 5 years, it's been bashing women. Like every relationship that have failed is the woman's fault. You know what I'm saying? And I don't like that. Because, yeah, women are really toxic nowadays. And women are really masculine nowadays. Hold on.
Are we listening?
But my thing is this. The women that are that way, a man made them that way. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a man saying that. Sometimes a man will come into a relationship and have a lot of baggage that he doesn't want to admit to. So his baggage from another previous relationship is turns into not just his baggage. It turns into the baggage of his woman. It's weighing her down with his insecurities and the things that didn't work out in his previous relationships. But what they do is, oh, no, the woman has the baggage. The women have the baggage. And that's not always true. So with me saying that, why do you think, whoever wants to go first, that a lot of people look up to celebrities for, and they have the little hashtag relationship goals? Why do y'all think that is?
Because they're insecure. I mean, like, there's no other way to put it. You lack something. You know you lack something, and you think that, you know, living up to that is going to fill that void. Where even just piggybacking off of what you mentioned, right, the only thing that's going to help that is by healing, right? Hurt people hurt people. So if you're coming into the relationship damaged, you know, air quotations, you're not going to be right. Nothing in that relationship is going to work until you decide you're ready to heal. And once you heal, and healing can be, you know, collaborative. You guys can heal together, you know, together separately, like whatever, you know, work on yourselves individually, but healing, like have that understanding. But even still, it's all a facade. people just look at, first of all that social media stuff is supposed to be an escape, right? Like, that's where people get lost, and they're literally getting lost, and it's a thin line for them, and they're falling, you know, between escape and reality, and they're trying to live up to these things, not realizing, even for like a video, right? Like a TikTok, you know, goes viral, nice. But look at how many times it took to get that good shot, that good video, that good content. Like, they're not looking at the work that goes behind the scenes before they get to the finished product. And you will always be miserable, always be hurt, always chasing something because you are not standing on values. You probably don't even have values. And I can tell you right now, especially like you mentioned with the younger generations, that's not being taught. Babies are having babies. And babies are not learning, you know, what we were passed down and what we were taught and what, you know, so those type of things are getting lost, and they're seeking that type of, hey, what type of man should I look for in social media? And that's sad, because it's all flooded with toxicity on both sides.
Exactly.
Felipe?
I think social media make things look glamorous. They make things look like it's easy. And it's not. And if you happen to look at some of the relationships through the celebrities and everything, most of them end up in divorce.
Tia Mowry got a divorce. Cynthia Bailey, Tom Brady and his supermodel wife. It all ended. Well, I could say Nia Long, but we don't know what's going on with that.
Well, she left.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, yeah. They did say she stepped to the side.
All right. So now I want to go over the papers that you have in front of you. We're going to call this the top five reasons relationship ends. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Infidelity. Do you ladies stay after finding out your spouse cheated, or do you stay after you cheated?
I'm going to stay after I cheated if I ain't get caught. Sorry. But infidelity is definitely a hard one. But I think it goes back to your standards, right? If you walk into that relationship saying, hey, this is what I value and this is what I stand on, and I'm not compromising any of this for the sake of you or for the sake of whatever, then cool. So you can kind of address that at that moment. You can't be like, oh, my bad, baby, I didn't know. Oh, no, you knew. I walked in telling you. You just wasn't listening. So, I mean, I don't know. It's hard. But you do. You know, you got to factor. It's a lot that goes into that. You got to factor in how long was you with the person. And, you know, that dumbass song, you know, like, what do you say? You know what I'm talking about.
So, Mom, would you stay after you were cheated on? Or would you stay if you cheated and he didn't find out?
Yes. It all depends on the relationship. It depends on the two people. If you're honest and say, okay, this happened, but I realize that I want this to work. And if y'all agree together, yes. And for the second part of it, would I say if I know I have cheated? Yeah, I would.
Well, at least you know you're fair. You'll stay either way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So, with me, I've stayed, like, after I cheated. Like, I've cheated on every single woman I've been with. And when it was done to me, it hurt.
Of course.
So, I had to, you know, like, dang, I got to be a soldier. Like, this is what I put a lot of women through. So, when it's done to me, I gotta stick it out. It's difficult because we can all sit here and be like, yeah, we would stay. But staying is just kind of crazy for the simple fact is you can never really trust that person. If they go out and they go to the grocery store and they stuck in traffic, you're going to think they cheating or they lying.
Very true.
So it can work. It can happen. But most of the time, it's just really really crazy for both parties involved.
But I think in that sense, the work still has to be done. It's not like, all right, you did what you did. All right, we're just going to act like it didn't happen and move forward. Like, no, it has to be some work. Like, we're going to have to talk about it. You're going to have to deal with the fact that I'm still trying to get over this. And if I'm honest with you when I say, like, all right, I'm going to stay, but just know it ain't going to be the same until we get through this.
But even if you get through it.
Yeah, it's always going to be something.
It's still not going to be the same as it was. But, all right. Lack of intimacy. Physical intimacy is important in any romantic relationship, but it is essential to the growth of a long-term relationship. Spending quality time together, investing in each other emotionally, and showing affection are all ways to show your spouse or your significant other that you see them and care about their emotional well-being. When intimacy stops, it is very, very different. So, lack of intimacy. What do you guys think about that?
Yes. I'll say yes, because I'm an affectionate person. So even if we're just watching TV, I might, you know, just put my toes, my feet on you, and or, you know, put your leg on my leg, we under the blankets, whatever, like that's intimate. You working, I'm in the vicinity or I'm in the area, but, you know, I might just start rubbing on your shoulders. It's not like, it doesn't necessarily have to be sexual, but just being around, touching, communicating, yet again, like, to me, it's sexy when we have a conversation, when we can have a deep conversation.
Right.
And that's stimulating versus, all right, let's just get to the physical. You know what I'm saying? Not to say to the physical, but, you know, if you can have both sides of it. And I think intimacy is overlooked a lot.
Right.
Because they don't, everybody's just thinking physical.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Felipe?
Intimacy is very important. And it doesn't matter. It's not always about having sex and all that. It's about just talking, like watching a movie, spending time together, or just hug me. Just hug me. Just come and hug me or whatever. So, yes, it's very important.
Sorry, okay. I was going to say I'll slap my butt while I'm doing the dishes. But, I mean, it is what it is.
Now, this is pretty cool because both of you have said communication is in your top two things that will make a relationship work. But, all right, problems in communication can stem from a wide variety of other issues, but ultimately, couples who can't find a way to connect with each other in order to communicate in a healthy way often decide that the relationship has run its course. Speaking from experience and just speaking to the type of man that I am, I like to communicate. That's one of the reasons why I started the podcast. But when I don't talk, when I'm just completely done and I don't want to talk to you at all, it's done. So even with me, I didn't say my top two, but communication for me is number one. I like to have in-depth and deep conversations with people to see where your brain is at. So I feel like if you can't communicate, the relationship is not going to work. So, Mom, you can tackle this first. Go ahead.
Yes, communication is very important. You have to be able to talk. And we learn, but the thing is, we learn communication when we are children. You really do. And right. in the home. So that's the reason it's very important to get counseling before you marry someone. Because some people, families know how to talk. Like you saw, Richie and I, we would have conversation. We would talk, okay? But then if you have somebody else, you married, and somebody married, and they didn't see that. Only thing they saw was yelling and fussing and fighting, and they don't know how to communicate. That is going to be a big issue in any relationship. If one person know how to communicate and talk, and the other person don't, and just or you just close up, that's terrible. Talk to me. We can get through this. But how can you get through it if you have a person that don't even want to talk?
I think it stems from childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. Again, I hate to be that person. I am a life coach certified. Put my plug in. Right. But I do feel like it is, you got to heal. I'm going to keep saying it. Like at the end of the day, it like when you read the definition, it states couples who can't find a way to connect. Your communication level is not the same as my method or my level. So right. I have to, if I'm in a relationship with you, I have to understand your level or your way of communication. Your way of communication might be walking off and writing something down, coming back and like, hey, now let's discuss this. Or here's what I had an issue with, you know, not to say that I've seen that, but it could be that way. You know, most people are like, talk to me. Like that pressure is going to make somebody shut down. But if you, as long as you guys kind of can come up with, again, setting that foundation, what's your way of communication? Like, almost like, what's your love language? You know what I'm saying? Like, intimacy to you might be something different. I'm going to just go back just to come right back. But, like, you know, talk about love languages. Talk about how what makes you feel happy at the end of the day and vice versa. So knowing that will help you, you know, be more intimate. It will help you when you shut down. I know the signs. I know the signals. I know to leave you alone and then come back, even with my children, right? Like, I'm telling him, I can see that you're affected by this. I can see that you're emotional. He might not be crying, but I can see an emotion, anger, sadness, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I say, if you don't want to talk about it right now, that is okay. Feel it out. Like, understand why you feel how you feel. But we're going to have the conversation. Like, come back to me once you realize what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Because you know, a lot of people, they when they communicate, they ready to, what you saying? All right, I'm just listening to see what you're saying so I can combat that. Like, I can yes. rebut that. Like, no, like, really.
Active listen.
Exactly.
Right.
That is so true in any relationship, because I might not be ready to have that talk about it. I'm upset right now, right. And I don't want to talk about it, but because you're ready to talk about it, we supposed to talk about it, and that can become a problem.
Right.
Well, I think this should be in everybody's top five right here of why relationships fail. Money. For richer or for poorer, sounds good in the vows, but it can scrape the surface of financial problems American couples can find themselves facing today. There are many ways finances can cause problems in a relationship, disagreements over spending or saving habits, issues with power dynamics due to different incomes, financial stability, and one spouse holding control of all finances. All right, I'll go first. So I have opened up accounts and hid them for my wife. Not to be, you know, disingenuous or phony or whatever, but I just say, hey, I'm putting something away for a rainy day. If we need to go on a trip or something, I'm just going to surprise them. Be like, yo, here's an extra $1,000 out this account. We do this or whatever. So after being married 13 years, though she was happy that I pulled that money out, she was upset and felt like I lied to her by not letting her know that I started those accounts. So money can be a deal breaker. And it took me a lot of growing up to realize that even though I did it for the right reasons, it was still wrong for me to hide something from my wife. So whoever want to go first to tackle that, go ahead.
I also find that it's interesting. It says American couples can find themselves facing today. Like, you know, I do feel like even with the, I'll just say for some other cultures, they marry based off of status. So they already know what the financial situation is before they even agree to the marriage. And a lot of times arranged marriages are the most successful because they're not going into it for love, and they find, you know, like, oh, he's cute, I want to marry him. No, like, they're like, okay, does this make sense? Like, is your family going to be able to communicate and work well with mine? Let's make it happen. And they're like, the divorce or the breakup, whatever you want to call it, that rate in those type of situations are like almost non-existent or very, very low because it's not based off of love. Now, the money aspect of it, I do think that, like, it goes back to the surface side. Like, people are only getting into relationships because they think they got money. Oh, he drive this kind of car. Oh, he buy this. Or he got this outfit. Like, I want to be with him. And I want to, and they rush it, and they rush it, and they find out, like, that's where all his money is going to. So he don't have the money to buy a house for you. He's still renting, or he don't have the money to do such and such. So I do think that, you know, again, having those healthy conversations in the beginning are very, very important. Yes.
Money is very important in a relationship. It is. And you do have to have that conversation at the beginning of the relationship, because I might be a spender, okay? And then you might be someone that likes to save, okay? We have to talk about this. And hiding money, I don't see a problem with it. I'm sorry. Because if you like to spend, and my mind is buying a house and having a college fund for the children, but every time we get paid, you want to keep spending, I may have to hide some money from you. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you know the issue that you have. So that has to be talked. I agree with what Shatara said. That has to be a conversation at the beginning of the relationship, especially if we see that the relationship is leading, gearing toward marriage. We have to have that conversation because people, like my husband, he was stingy. Okay, he was. He had a good heart, but I didn't mean to talk about your daddy. But he was stingy. But at the same time, he liked to spend money. But me, I'm not stingy. I'm a giver, but I like to save. Mm-hmm. So we had to bring that together.
So let me ask y'all something. Like, is it not understood? Like, okay, I can have a personal. We can have a joint. Like each, you know what I mean? Like we each have a personal account, and then we can have a joint account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's cool. But see, what I did is I did the opposite. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had a joint account, but then I stopped the joint account and just made my own shit, and then added some more shit. I got like about 2 or 3 different accounts that my wife didn't know about. We had some financial difficulties. Well, she thought we was going to have financial difficulties until I went and opened my safe upstairs and went to my different accounts. And then she was like, where'd you get all this money from? And though she was, like I said, though she was happy,
right,
I really did feel bad from hiding it from her. But not saying my wife is really horrible with money, but she likes to spend. When I was younger, I would go out and buy $200-$300 pairs of sneakers. I can't do that. Just give me a pair of Vans or something like that, a little $60, I'm good. My wife likes Jordans now, and she likes to go and spend money on those. So though I was doing it for the right reasons, it was still wrong. But we can move on to number 5, and then I have 2 more questions for you ladies. Number 5 is addiction. Battling addiction can be difficult, and often those struggling with addiction can end up hurting those closest to them. Couples can work through addiction, but it requires both parties to want to commit to seeking help. Addiction. I had a little addiction of going out and buying movies, an addiction to horror movies. And my wife really looked at me like I was kind of crazy. Like, I just like horror movies and kung fu flicks, and I have hundreds of those movies. And I'm just going to be transparent. Like, you know, that was an addiction. It took me some years to realize, like, yo, I'm just buying movies. But that's an addiction to horror movies and kung fu movies. And it's like I would just get paid and just run out there. Like, that was my drug. And it, you know, with the type of movies I wasn't watching, no, like, NC-17 shit. But like I said, it was like horror and kung fu movies. And it turned into a problem where my wife said I was paying more attention to her, I mean, to the movies, than I was to her. So that was my little thing on addiction. And it can ruin a relationship. Because think about it, I wasn't paying attention to her and I was spending the money. So whoever want to go first.
You hit 3 things on here: addiction, money, and lack of communication, and lack of intimacy.
Yeah.
So she was on her way out the door.
Yeah, she was.
I think that's a tricky subject, a tricky topic, only mm-hmm. because obviously it depends on what you're addicted to. Mm-hmm. I will say that the moment that you decide to move forward with that and work with that person to get through it, you have to understand what you are signing up for. It's almost like you have the addiction working with that person to get over it, mm-hmm. because your life, not to say it's going to be put on pause, but now you have to make sure that you understand what comes along with that. Mm-hmm. You got to be a strong individual. Then that's what all I'm going to say. I personally have not been in that. You know what? I have. And I left.
Right.
I left. And it was my son's father. Uh-huh. He was addicted to crime. Like, it was a thing. And I didn't realize until after I was already pregnant. And I was a little upset. But it is what it is. And I just was like, it just seems like you can't stop. And like, if not for you, for him. You know what I mean? And once I realized, like, And I'm not going to say he didn't care about his child. I don't think that that was the case. I just felt like he, you know, based off of his lifestyle, whatever reason he decided to do it, he just could not stop. So.
Yes. You can make it work through addiction. I've been on both sides. That's all I'm going to say. I will say for me, my addiction was eating. Okay. I like to cook it and eat it. And I became very obese. And my husband had to deal with that, me feeling bad and something that I could change or whatever. And then his addiction as well. So we both worked together and he got over his addiction. With him not being here, I won't go into that. With him being deceased, I will not go into that. And he helped me through my addiction with eating, and he helped me with my weight loss. And we decided together, let's fix us. Okay, because our children are looking at us. So, yes, it can work as long as you work together.
All right. This question, it just popped in my head. I didn't really talk about this with Corey. But so what happened if your addiction is the other person, your spouse? Or your girlfriend, your boyfriend. So how y'all feel like about that? Because if your addiction is that person, sometimes that can make the relationship end, right?
Of course.
So how, what do y'all feel about that? If a person is addicted to you, they don't cheat. They show you intimacy, and they say intimacy is not all about sex, right? They communicate with you, and they make good money. If that addiction, if their addiction is you, do you walk out the door?
Yes.
Mom?
Yes. That can become addiction, toxic, and all above.
But
yes.
I just said, but if they don't cheat,
because
they show you intimacy, and they communicate, and they make good money,
but it
they would still walk away.
Yeah, but that, it can become obsessed. To me, that's they obsess with you, okay? And that cannot, that's not good. Uh-huh. Even if you are the addiction or whatever that they're addicted to, at the end of the day, too much of anybody can be a problem.
I second that. Like, you know, not to kind of put, you know, you put it out there, so I'm going to just use it as a resource. Uh-huh. You know, you sitting here watching horror films, and now I'm sitting here thinking, like, all right, he's addicted to me. Like, and then if I change, if I say no, if there's any type of friction there, like, are you going to go crazy? Like, you know what I'm saying? Are we borderline, like, infatuation, and it becomes unhealthy for both ends, and I don't know to what extreme are you willing to take it.
And then you don't want me to go nowhere. You want me to sit up here under you 24/7, you staring at me like I'm crazy because you can eat me up right then, you know. Okay. No, that is not healthy. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're not cheating. I'm addicted to you. I'm addicted to you.
All right, sorry, I had to play
that. I don't care how cute you make it sound.
All right, so in closing, do you prefer to be married or you prefer to be single?
Well, I said I'm single. I'm open. I'm open to the idea. I will say, you know, I am trying to work on me. I'm trying to realize where my morals lie, what my standards are, where I want to go and how I want to handle it. What I will stay and what I won't stay for, you know, situations like that. And also, yeah, I'm open to marriage.
Felipe?
I've been married twice and both of them passed away. I don't know.
Third time's a charm.
I love, let me make it plain. I love being married. I really, really did. I love it. But I don't know. I can't answer that right now. I don't know.
Okay. So which is easier?
I love being married. Marriage was nice. It was. So
marriage is easier in your opinion?
Yeah, because being single, like right now I'm a widow. I'm single. I mean, I get bored. Sometimes you want to go out to eat with somebody and not just your son and your daughter-in-law and your grandchildren. Sometimes you want that opposite of companionship, and then you want to be able to have situations, mm-hmm. and you want to be married and do it correctly. So, yeah, I think marriage was a little bit more
okay,
nice, easier. Yeah.
Okay.
being married for 13 years and being with my now wife for about 18 years, I would have to say that marriage, I would prefer marriage. And I would have to say marriage is easier. Because I just feel like sometimes, like, I'm not talking about you, you know, you're my nigga, Corey, but Corey said that he's been married twice. His second marriage lasted almost 20 years. But he still said he would prefer marriage because dating right now is a little crazy, you know? And once you get to a routine and you know a person, you know their ins and outs, you know what I'm saying? They might, you know, leave hair chips in the sink. You know what I'm saying? They might leave their socks at the end of the bed. They might not make up the bed when they leave. But I feel like that's a lot easier to deal with than all the shit that people got to deal with out here in the world right now. So I appreciate you ladies for being here. I really do. So, Shatara, you said you are a certified life coach. So if you want to plug any and everything that you do, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Woke Services, Women of Color and Power, but I do not only help women of color. I'm also out here for the brothers, stand up. I'm also a photographer, Woke Images. And so it all, you know, Woke Services encompasses it all.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm in the DMV area. You can hit me up on Instagram at Woke Services or at Woke_Images.
Okay. PJ Bakes. PJ Cuisine for the Soul, go ahead.
Yes, you can look me up on Facebook as well. I do all occasions, weddings, christenings, office gatherings. We do baked goods, or we are complete meals. Thanksgiving is coming up, Christmas coming up. You having your outing or your office party, give me a call, pjjarman1 at msn.com.
All right, y'all know what I do. This is my podcast, The Mitchell Hour. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Google Podcasts. I'm on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Audible, everywhere. So I appreciate you ladies being here.
Thank you.
And we are going to end with a song that I think is appropriate. All righty.
Yeah. I know these so-called players wouldn't tell you this.
What?
I'ma be real and say what's on my heart.
Yeah.
Let's take this chance and make this love feel relevant. Didn't you know I loved you from the